The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read to you today from John chapter 3. Yes, beginning in verse 16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is going to be a tough one. I've got 26 and a minutes and 10 seconds to talk about John 3:16 and the sequential verses after it. See, a lot of people will quote John 3:16, but they don't understand that John 3:17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 all come after it. They're all the words of Christ, and they're all the truth of God. I might have to get a little hard, a little mean. I hate to do that necessarily. I don't do it just for my own health or pleasure. But to do this scripture justice in the short time I have, the reason being, there is probably more error surrounding this scripture than almost any other scripture in the Bible. The interpretation of the world, for the most part, and the interpretation of the religious world agree in one as to the meaning of this particular verse. Because it seems like all modern theology is based on the error they teach from John 3:16. And I did say error. I could have said heresy or blasphemy, because it comes from that too. I'm just going to come out and state this plainly at the beginning, flat out. So if you want to, you can get mad and not waste any more of your time. If you want to switch off, you can go right ahead. But I do want to state this plainly, succinctly, clearly. John 3:16 does not, and I repeat, does not teach that God loves everyone. I know that's what everybody thinks. I am well aware of the billboards. I'm well aware of bumper stickers. I'm well aware of the error surrounding this verse. God does not love everyone. That's not what this verse teaches. Now, I cannot disprove those sayings, those statements from the scripture. But what I can do, and what I'm going to endeavor to do, try to do, is tell you what these verses teach. It's just basically repeat the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, expound upon them a little bit of the truth that is revealed here. And there's a very glorious truth that is revealed here. But I can't disprove what everyone says. And I'm not going to try. All I can do is tell you what the scriptures say. That's the way we try to do things. That's the way we believe is the right way to do things. Because John says in his general epistles at the back, he that is of God heareth us. He that is not of God will not hear us. I've got nothing to say that will change an unbeliever to a believer. I can't do it. I can't do it at all. As a matter of fact, that's what this scripture is teaching. You can't separate this, John 3:16, from John 3, verses 3 through 8. Where, see, this is still a continuation of the conversation that Jesus Christ was having with, or actually, he was teaching Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. He told him, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born from heaven. You must be born of God in order to see or to enter the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to this statement, these statements here, John 3:16, John 3:11 through 21. I didn't read all the rest of it, but it's all there. You can look it up yourself. You understand, he started with the beginning of salvation in man in time, and he starts with, ye must be born again. It starts with the work of God. Then you must believe. Then you must believe, and you'll not perish. You'll not, if you believe. But only, don't forget, if you are born from above, born of God. This is how Christ is explaining all of this to this ruler of the Jews. The striking thing here for that man, for that Jewish man, that ruler of the Jews, that man steeped in the law, that man who knew the Jewish traditions and the Jewish law and knew all of that, that it does say, for God so loved the world. Now, I do believe what that actually means is, and what he actually said, and you can look at it in the Greek if you want to. Basically, what he is saying is, for so God so loved God the world. The striking thing here for this Nicodemus fellow was the fact that he did not say, for that God loved Israel, for that God loved the Jews, he sent his only begotten son. No, it does. It is more inclusive than that. This, the word world there is cosmos. It's the whole of creation in this case. It is God loved his creation, the whole world. That's Jew and Gentile when it comes to people. And he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him, whosoever Jews, yes, but whosoever Gentiles also. This had to be a shock to Nicodemus. It doesn't mean so much to us nowadays. I understand, because we don't understand this. And it's still true. There are only two kinds of people in the world. When you go to this division, you have Jews and you have Gentiles. Gentiles are those who are not Jews. That encompasses everyone in the world as a whole, as a species, as mankind. That's what Christ is saying. He was not coming. He did not come only for the Jew. And that was a shocking thing to Nicodemus. The second shocking thing he says here is that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, I am begotten of the Father. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am the Anointed One. And whosoever believeth in him, in the Anointed One, in Jesus Christ, in the Messiah, should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this manner, God loved the world. In this manner, God gave his only begotten Son. In this manner, he that is believing in him should not perish, but already has everlasting life. This is the manner in which God loved the world. Not just the Jews only, but the world. He was clearly explaining here to Nicodemus that this was not for the Jews only. There are testaments, there are scriptures in the Old Testament. There are places that are quoted again in the New Testament, which speak of Christ and of the salvation of the Gentiles in the Old Testament. And that, I'm sure, was a shock to Nicodemus. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, this is not every single individual. He did not come to condemn the world. That's true, because he's going to tell you in the next verse, the world's already condemned. This world's already fallen. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that believeth not, you hear me, is condemned already. So his Son coming into the world was not to condemn the world. His Son came into the world that the world might be saved through him. And the world was saved through him. This whole, this whole error. See, God loved everyone in the world, and they want everyone in the world that might be saved. That's not what this is teaching. That's not what it's saying. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is that condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. It's not that men love darkness better than light, although they do. It's not that men love darkness and, sort of not really fond of the light. No. No. Men love darkness instead of the light. They congregate, they cluster. They're attracted like moths to a flame. Only that flame that they're attracted to is darkness. They love the darkness. Men love darkness in the place of the light. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Everyone. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Jesus Christ said, I am the light. He said, I am the light. What does that mean? Well, it means he is the light. John introduced him in the first chapter as the light of the world. He came unto his own, what? And his own received him not. Why? They hate the light. They hate Jesus Christ. What does it mean not to believe Jesus Christ? What does it believe? You're trying to make God a liar, and he won't have it. You understand? This is that condemnation. This is the condemnation. Light came into the world, and men hate it. Men hate him. When Jesus Christ spoke, you can read about it in all the Gospels, but most especially in John and some of the places. When he spoke and told the truth, they took up stones to stone him. They wanted to kill him. You, being a man, make yourself equal with God. Well, he was, and he is equal with God. He spoke the truth, and they wanted to kill him. For God so loved the world, he did give his only begotten Son. In this manner, God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son. And that those who are born from above believeth in him, and they should not perish but have everlasting life. You understand, you can't leave out that first section of John when you come to talk about this section of John. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born from above. I'll say it to you again. That's why I said it unto you. Ye must be born from above. What's the difference between those who believe and those who don't believe? Believeth not. Being born from above. The difference is the work of God. It's not the work of a man. I said this last week. It's not the work of a man to be born from above. Every time in John verses 3 through 8, when you see that word born, it's there as a verb, which usually denotes action. But in this case, every single time you see that word born talking about a human being, it's in the passive voice. It speaks of something being done to the person, not being done by the person. Now, these words here, believeth, are active. This is something we do. But this only follows what Christ has already told Nicodemus. Ye must be born from above to see the kingdom of God. You must be born of the water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is he that has been born from above, who has been born of God. This is where this all comes from. It's flowing down in the order. Born from above comes first, then believing in him comes afterward. There is a result to the new birth. There is a result to being born from above. There is results from the work that God does in the sinner, giving of life, giving of faith. We are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And by grace, through faith, we do believe. I know what people say about this verse. I know. We had a fellow preach for us one day, and he came out and he said, the way they read it is basically, for God so loved the world. That's not the context of this verse. That's not the meaning of this verse. It's in this manner God loved the world. It took his only begotten son for anyone to believe in him. It took his only begotten son, his life, his death, crucifixion, suffering, blood being shed, and his resurrection. What did it take all that for? To be born from above. To be born from above. Call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. You understand the meaning of that verse now? Does that make a little more sense? That's what Christ came to do. He suffered as a substitute for the sins of his people. That part's done with. That part's done with. Redemption has happened. Redemption has happened. His offering was made to the Father. He ascended with his precious blood. And God accepted him and his offering of his blood. Whoever that blood was shed for are those who will be born from above and are those who will be believing him. Isn't that everyone? Didn't Christ shed his blood for everyone? Boy, that's a whole nother discussion, but the answer, short answer, is no. The answer is no, and completely and totally no. He suffered for many the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Anytime you see anything speaking written in the scriptures about the shed blood, about the suffering of the sacrifice for sin, of the, you know, you will see distinctive, clarifying words that it is not for all. It may be for us all, but then you have to look and see who the us is. Who is the writer writing to? You understand? This is the way of salvation. It is the work of God from beginning to end. It's the work of God that we are born from above. We are entirely passive in it. It's the work of God that we believe in Him. It's the work of God that we should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. How's he condemned? He's dead in trespasses and in sins. You understand? The first thing that has to come for anyone to believe on him or in him is life from the Father, being born from above, being born of the water and the Spirit, of regeneration and the renewing, the making anew of the Holy Spirit, the new birth. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? It just tells, because he believeth not. He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's an insult to God, an offense to God, not to believe in his only begotten Son. It's a sin not to believe Christ. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, I have personal experience with some of this, and some other people I know also. When you speak of the God who saves, when you speak of the God who does, for lack of a better term, born you from above, give you life, give you faith. And we believe by the working of his mighty power. That's the way Paul wrote it in Ephesians. We don't even believe on our own. We believe through the working of his power. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. What did Christ say himself? Because Christ told some in John chapter 8, they were going to die in their sins. Now that just seems like a very strange thing to say from God who supposedly loves everyone. Well, like I said, I can't disprove that from here, but I can tell you what it is saying. Christ said, and this is John 8, verse 23 and 24. He said, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. These are the words of Christ. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For, here's a reason, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. How important is believing Christ? It's of the utmost importance. It's a direct result of being born from above. There's no way you can claim to be born from above if you do not believe his Son, if you do not believe the only begotten Son. And you've got to believe him. I'm going to tell you that you're going to believe him as he is, not as you want him to be. He will reveal himself. You must be born from above, but also, not but, also, ye must believe or you'll die in your sins. That's the message of John 3:16. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You must believe, or you will die in your sins. This is the condemnation that's already on every unbeliever. They hate the light. Now, I can tell you personally, I used to hate the light. I didn't want anything to do with him. But there was a day, and a day ever since then, when I wanted to know Christ. Has that ever happened? Has there been a change? You understand? This whole statement from beginning to end, John chapter 3, where Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, it speaks of man having to change, and in specific, man having to be changed. In this manner, God loved the world. In this manner, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How? Through the work and the power of God Almighty, through the work and death and burial and resurrection and now life of Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's how God loved the world. He is saving his people from their sins and bringing it about in time, right now. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.